Today's episode of Locked On MLB is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code Locked On. You'll get 20% off your next order.
You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. On today's episode, which is being dropped on Sunday, the 24th day of January 2021, we're doing a Sunday request and in the process honoring one of the greatest figures in the history of baseball, both on and off the field. This show is available on the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app. We're also available wherever you get your podcasts. And when you're staying at home during these historic times, be sure to tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Fantasy Baseball with Scott Cullen and the brand new Locked On Today, which is launching very, very soon. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later on the show. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On MLB Pod. And you can follow me personally on Twitter. And this is where you can send your Sunday requests to, at Sully Baseball on Twitter and Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. So we're 24 days into 2021 right now. And already we have lost three Hall of Famers. We've lost Don Sutton. We've lost Tommy Lasorda. And then this past week, we lost Hank Aaron. And just going back the previous year, we lost Phil Niekro and Whitey Ford and Lou Brock and Bob Gibson and Tom Seaver and Joe Morgan. You know, I mean, Al Kaline also died last year. I made my announcement that I'm going to have the in memoriam video done for opening day instead of the All-Star game. That's almost become a necessity. Just because, I mean, I'm sitting here thinking, who's going to be the final name? Who's going to be the final name? Then Hank Aaron died. And the only thing I'm thinking is, like, the only name that could possibly top that is Willie Mays. And I don't want to live where I have to bump if the decision who ends it, Willie Mays or Hank Aaron. I want to live in a world where both of them are with us. And the greatness of Hank Aaron can't really be defined by his numbers. But as I will be talking about in this podcast, I also don't want it to be defined by anything resembling, indifference or passiveness, which I find there may be a slight danger of his legacy being rewritten in that way. But I'll get to that the second part of this podcast, because the first part of the podcast, we just need to deal with pure numbers, which leads to our Sunday request, which comes from someone whose handle is LMC, or their name is LMC, and their Twitter handle is I don't know what this means. M-U-S-D-U-R-K-E-N. Musdurken. Maybe that's your name. Maybe that's some sort of in-joke for people who live near Oshkosh, Wisconsin. I don't know. Neither do you. But this person, don't know if it's a man or a woman, wrote, excuse me, Sully Baseball, which active player has the best chance to beat the record that everybody cares about, Hank Aaron's total bases record? Now, there's a little bit of humor in that, that virtually no one seems to pay attention to total bases, although it's strange when you think about it that the two stats that virtually get no attention are something total bases, which seems to be quite important, and times on base, which I think is extraordinarily important. If you're a batter, the number of times you get on base would seem to be an important stat, wouldn't you think? Well, I started thinking about this. One of the things this shows is that Hank Aaron was more than just a slugger of home runs. This is not a guy who just swung from his heels and boom, you know, and was kind of an all or nothing type player. My favorite, there are two facts about the statistics of Hank Aaron that will never cease to amaze me. He hit 755 home runs, did so in a pitcher's era, did so in an era where the strike zone was wider, the mound was higher, the parks were symmetrical. He did play in a home run friendly park in both Milwaukee and Fulton County Stadium, I grant you that, but he had to regularly face the Juan Marichals and Sandy Koufaxes and Don Drysdales and Jim Bunnings and Tom Seavers of the world. And he hit 755 home runs over a 23-year career, which means he averaged 35 home runs a year. That was his average total. Not average over a five-year span. That's his average over 23 years. Here's what makes it really remarkable to me. He never hit 50. His career high was 48. He never hit 50, which means he didn't have that 60 home run peak that Babe Ruth had, that 71 home run peak, or 73 home run peak that Bonds had. He didn't have those years where the average was evened out. Like, well, there were some years he had 16 home runs, where he had that one year where he had 58. So that kind of averaged out. No, he never had that. Year in and year out, consistently year in and year out, pounded out 35 home runs every single year. The fact that he is was the leader in that, and it took an incredibly, granted, I'm a Bonds supporter. I'm not someone who is against Bonds, but it took someone with some interesting circumstances around him to barely squeak by him, shows you how great he was. The total bases record he had 6,856 total bases, did Hank Aaron. That's when you combine singles, doubles, doubles would count as two, triples count as three, home runs count as four in terms of all your hits, all right? Hank Aaron's was 6,856. The next closest was Stan Musial, who was at 6,134. Willie Mays is third at 6,066. Nearly 800 fewer total bases than Henry Aaron, and nobody else has cracked 6,000. Now, Albert Pujols is very, very close. In fact, he is just 77 total bases away from joining the 6,000 club, which would be Aaron, Musial, Mays, and potentially Pujols. Great. Good for Albert. Is he going to then get another 856 total bases? No. Pujols is running out of gas as it is. So, you know, when you look at someone like Pujols, who's had a great career over a very long period of time, and you know that he's not even going to come within 700 total bases of Henry Aaron. This is the type of career we're talking about. Now, in terms of some of the other, it's just that there's certain records that Hank Aaron holds that we don't even think about. I mean, think about extra base hits, career extra base hits, 1,477 career extra base hits. That's the best ever. That's 37 more than Bonds. Now, Pujols is 130 extra base hits shy, but there's no way he's going to get 130 extra base hits over the next bunch of years. It's not going to happen. Then total bases, I mean, we mentioned Pujols. He still needs 900 more. RBIs. I know we're not supposed to look at runs batted in anymore. It's not cool to look at RBI anymore, but Hank Aaron is still the RBI king at 2,297, which is 83 more than Babe Ruth. Now, Albert Pujols is in the 2000s as well, but there's no way he's going to get another 300 runs batted in his career. It's just not going to happen. And, you know, for those of us who need that modern, for the lack of a better word, perspective of a player, Think of someone like Pujols. Think of him. Now, yes, he's had some mediocre to downright disappointingly bad seasons while playing for the Angels, but he's had a 20-year career with three MVPs on his mantle and a stretch, probably a seven-year stretch, where he was the best offensive player in baseball. And even some of his middling years in California includes years where he has 40 home runs, 31 home runs, 23 home runs, 30 home runs. You know, they're bad for Albert Pujols, and they're bad for that massive contract. But even with all of that, that type of player is not going to come close to matching what Bonds achieved, or what Aaron achieved. Please forgive that slip. Now let's look at his teammate. His teammate, Mr. Trout, is the best player in baseball right now, as of this recording. He is the best player, most consistent player. And even last year, where like the first year he finished as low as five on the MVP voting, he still had a year that most people would ask a genie for, even in a truncated season where he got 17 home runs, his OPS was nearly 1,000, his slugging was at 600. Okay. And he has, what, three MVPs to his name, consistently the leader of both on base and slugging, hits piles of home runs, this, that, and the other thing. Now, Trout has played for, let's just call it nine seasons, okay? He played a little bit in 2011. Let's call it nine seasons. In order for, at his current pace, now, right now, if for his current pace, if Trout got extra base hits in his current pace over a 23-year career, like Hank Aaron, he would pass him. But he'd have to keep up at this pace. He couldn't have what happened to Pujols. He couldn't have any dip. He has to have be playing at 2017, 2018, 2019 level Mike Trout over a 23-year period. In terms of total bases, if he did that, it kept his total base count over 23 years, he would come short. Same with runs batted in. Now, it's not exactly fair because runs batted in also requires him to have runners on base, and he has played on some pretty lousy Angels teams. And quite frankly, I think he should be higher up in the order to take advantage of his on-base percentage. But what I'm saying is, if Trout continues to play at this pace over 23 years, he would still come up short in extra base hits and total bases. He would have to play at that level in order to approach what Hank Aaron did. And if he keeps that over 23 years, obviously Trout's a Hall of Famer. I think he's a Hall of Famer right now if he retired. But that being said, this gives you an idea of what Hank Aaron's stats were beyond the home run hitting. My favorite stat about Hank Aaron is the fact that if all of his other at-bats went the same, but his home runs were all caught at the warning track. So just erase the home runs, and all he has zero home runs, but all the other hits are kept the same, he would still have over 3,000 hits. He would still be in the Hall of Fame. This is who we're dealing with. This is who we're honoring. This is who was one of the great offensive figures, statistical figures in the history of the game. But he was more than that. And that's worth talking about. But his career, just by the numbers, is worth saluting. And I wish I could give him something, because he has that. What else do you want? Presidential Medal of Freedom, Hall of Fame, World Series ring, MVPs, the love and honor of an entire nation. The best I can give him is a Built Bar, which is the best tasting protein bars ever. And they've got all these great flavors. I got my new box of them, which has the caramel brownies, that has the lemon almond cheesecake, that has the apple almond crisp, which I hadn't had until just last week, and I loved it. I thought it was great. To go along with the original flavors, along with my two favorite, which are mint brownie and chocolate covered raspberry. All of them are chocolate covered. They're soft, they're easy to chew, but they're good for you. If you're trying to be health conscious, trying to lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat, Built Bars are for you. Let's take a look at this great new flavor cookies and cream, which I thought was also great. 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams of net carbs. You get a free cooler with purchase while supplies last. Just go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Hey, look it. We now have a Super Bowl matchup setup. Isn't it great? Who's playing? I'm actually recording this just before the conference championships, so I don't know. Should I put my money on the Packers? Should I put them on the Buccaneers, on the Bills, or on the Chiefs? I don't know. You do, because you listen to this podcast after the games. But hey, if you want to put good, solid money and bet on the Super Bowl, there's only one place that has you covered and one place that we trust. That's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Super Bowl, you got the college basketball, baseball's coming up. Great sports are all over the place. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get into the action. And don't forget to use promo code LOCKEDON to get 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook expert. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today with a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need with under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get podcasts. Couple of things I saw. I'm really going to try not to be preachy here, but it's important sometimes to say those awkward things. A couple of things that I saw in terms of the tributes to Hank Aaron. Talked about what a man of dignity he was, which he certainly was. Great player, great ambassador of the game, someone who rose above the game, someone who stared down the taunts of racism to show that he's worthy of being the home run king. And he is a bigger man than any of his critics. He did it. He did it on the field and he did it off the field. And of course, nobody could fathom what he was going through between the end of the 1973 season and the beginning of the 1974 season. He finished the 1973 season with 713 home runs, one shy of Babe Ruth. And the death threats started pouring in from all these racists who are still out there and are still loud and haven't gone away. And the children of these racists are still out there wanting to murder Hank Aaron, knowing if they murdered him that offseason, Babe Ruth would remain the home run king at 713. The death threats started coming in. He needed police escorts. He needed bodyguards. He hit a home run on opening day. And then a home run the first weekend in Atlanta, tied it opening day, boom, broke the record in Atlanta. When the two guys who ran on the field and ran between second and third, we all look at it as this really kind of fun, quirky moment. But at the time, Henry Aaron's family thought they're going to kill him right then and there. Now, there has become a mythology that I saw in some of the tributes to him that said he was never angry. He faced all this and was never angry. Now, one of the people who said that was Chipper Jones. I'm going to give Chipper Jones a mulligan because Chipper knew Hank Aaron. Obviously Hank Aaron was very involved in the Braves, and the two of them, at least from all accounts, had a very warm relationship. And Chipper Jones is not known as a wordsmith. And I'm sure he just vomited up whatever he thought of, and I'll say, do you know what, I'll give him that's an athlete, that's a jock paying tribute to someone who he admired, and I will not question Chipper Jones on that. But that word never angry popped up on several other obituaries, and there's something about that bothers me. And the reason I'm bothered by it is that I've just finished reading a ton about Jackie Robinson for my book that I'm writing about 1972. Jackie Robinson gave a very passionate speech during the opening ceremonies of game two of the 72 World Series, and died 9 days after the World Series ended. Actually died 2 days, 9 days after he gave his speech, he was dead. And he was a fighter, Jackie was, constantly making waves, constantly rocking the boat, constantly picking fights with people who he felt were causing injustice and were bringing down his cause. And yet so many times when I read about Jackie Robinson, there seems to be almost a fetish-like obsession with talking about the 2 years that he didn't fight back, as if to say people hurled abuse at him, but he didn't fight back. And that's what we want. We want anyone to, we want everything to be silent. We don't want to have any pushback. We want the silent person there with their arms folded, taking the abuse, and then we learn from it. But the idea of them fighting back becomes something that becomes, oh, something difficult to encapsulate. And there's almost an obsession with making him a pacifist who didn't fight back, when anyone who's done any research on the man knows that he was a fighter right to the very end. Well, the never angry, which I saw in more than one obituary. There was a passage that I read about when Hank Aaron was speaking to the brass at the Atlanta Braves in their headquarters in CNN, and quoting to say, Hank Aaron, Willie Mays, Willie McCovey, Roberto Clemente, Ernie Banks, Lou Brock, Frank Robinson, Bob Gibson, we came along and saved what could have been the dullest game in history. We brought excitement, speed. We paid our dues, man. No one knows what we had to go through. Get off the bus. Go get dressed somewhere else. Go to the car on the other side of town. Get back half an hour early, ready to play. What's baseball done for us? How many of those guys are still around in the game? The white man allowed us a few crumbs. You can sit right there in the front of the bus as long as you're pulling in money. After that, it's back to the bus. The vice president's smooth corporate monotone is gone, his voice growing loud, harsh. They say we don't have the mental necessities to sit behind a desk. We just have God-given talent. But man, I had hard work to do. I had to think. I didn't have any more natural talent than Ted Williams or Joe DiMaggio. I played in the game 23 years, and that tells me I had to study some pitchers pretty well. But no, I was a dumb SOB. It's racism. These things really anger me. And then another quote from the Sporting News. Henry Aaron says, I don't think baseball has moved as far as it should have since Jackie Robinson's time. Fact or fact, we had Monty Irvin in the commissioner office, we have Bill Lucas in the front office of the Braves, and that's it. There have been four managerial changes so far this year, and a black man wasn't considered for any of them. To be absolutely honest about you, I wouldn't like to manage, but I know other blacks in baseball who would and could. I have two boys, Henry and Larry, and when I sit down and talk with them about the only thing I can honestly say to them is, you can play 20 years, and then you go to the back of the bus again. You can play for 20 years and give them all the service you're capable of, and then you have to forget about it. There's no place for you, no future. This is Henry Aaron. Now, if we're saying he wasn't angry in that he wasn't picking fights, he wasn't screaming at people, he didn't punch back, well, maybe because he knew what the consequences of that would be. Maybe because he knew that even a silent protest can mean being barred as anti-American. You want to talk about the fellas holding up their black gloves during the Olympics? Was that a violent protest? Was it? And they became villains. You don't have to go back very far. Hell, go back to any player kneeling. Colin Kaepernick got, what, run out of the game, called a villain. Was he doing anything violent? Was he doing anything that was truly objectionable? So we're living in a time still when showing any pushback and showing any sense of, hey, I think there's actual racism going on here, gets tremendous backlash. You don't think Hank Aaron was angry? He said he was. So don't use the brush of, oh, he was someone who just took it all with a smile. That wasn't him. And it dishonors his legacy to try to paint him that way. So someone might get upset by me saying some of this, and I don't care. Write me a bad review if you don't think it, if you think what I'm saying is wrong, but you're wrong. Hank Aaron has a legacy that could be defined by numbers, could be defined by his dignity, and defined by how he defeated those who he was angry at. And he was one of the great figures in American history, and he's gone. So let's make sure his legacy is that of a strong fighter and not of someone who is passive. So go to the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app and all the places we get your podcasts. When you're staying at home during these interesting times, be sure to tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB. Doing my best to give Hank Aaron his due. This is Locked On MLB for the 24th day of January 2021. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.